The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Those sting really bad in September. We're not going to overreact. We're not going to freak out. We're going to keep our composure, dust yourself off, and let's talk about this one. Do a little therapy session here tonight. Brewers fall in 10 innings. They lose the series to the Cardinals. The 3-2 final in 10 tonight, but the Brewers won the war. They had already won the season series. They finished things up for the second consecutive year, going 8-5 against the Cardinals. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here as well. We'll start with scoreboard watching. Earlier today, the Phillies beat the Blue Jays. A quick little midweek sweep for the Phils, which means the Brewers, with their loss today, fall to 2.5 games back in the race for the second wild card. And oh, by the way, the Phillies are getting ready to face a 4-game set with the Miami Marlins over the weekend. So the Brewers, with an off day tomorrow, are going to have to take care of business against the Rockies to try and keep pace. The Cubs, by the way, they threw a no-hitter tonight. Good for them, whatever. They're 9 games, which is really 10 games back here as we stand. Brewers still stuck on 81 wins at this point in the year, 22 games to go. Jerry, we can talk about the manager decisions. We can talk about the pinch hitting. We can talk about the, you know, the last at bat of the game. We can talk about what the Brewers have been doing offensively overall. But the only number that matters, and the thing that I will always come back to today, it didn't matter how Colin Ray pitched. It didn't matter how D.L. Hall pitched. It didn't matter how Hobie Milner pitched. It didn't matter how Yoel Piamos pitched. You went 0-15 with runners in scoring position, and you struck out 8 times. They could have had zeros across the board to this point in the game. We'd still be playing baseball right now. 0-15 with 8 strikeouts is the reason they lost the game.
Uncharacteristic of this ball club, being able not to put the ball in play when you got runners in scoring position. They've done it so well all year long, and you know, you do give some credit to the Cardinals. They made some really good pitches at times when they had to, but you know, when you get to this time of the year, it's still that concentration of doing the little things in a game of baseball, and it builds momentum into the postseason. And this is one thing that Murph is really going to have to work with this ball club and keep him focused on what is our goal, what do we have to do, and that's why we got to play our complete baseball game. We have to get the guys on base, we have to move them, put them in play, and that's how the season, for the rest of the season, that's how you have to play. You have to get the runners and score and be able to put the game on the line, and you got to have a runner in scoring position. You got to get them in.
I think what's so uncharacteristic is the amount of strikeouts with runners in scoring position. We've talked about it, the fact that the Brewers do get a lot of opportunities with runners in scoring position. And two bad games, let's put it like that, is not going to erase an entire season's worth of great production with runners in scoring position. The Brewers are a good team in these situations. Now, there are moments where you want them to score more often with a runner on second and nobody out, or a runner on third and less than 2 outs. They make up for it with 2 outs, it seems like. But at the same time, let's be honest for a second. The pitching that you saw tonight, Sonny Gray, was fantastic. You saw a leveraged bullpen aside from Ryan Helsley, who was not available today. You couldn't score against him yesterday if it wasn't for a fluke play in center field.
That's right.
I mean, this is what it's going to look like in the playoffs. So for these young guys to go through a rut and to go through a stretch like this, as Pat Murphy talked about it in his postgame earlier tonight, they're showing their youth right now, and you hope that they learn from this now, because this is what it's going to look like in October.
Well, I think part of it, too, is what's going to help Murph, I think, when you look at, we talked about this the other day, the games that they have left. We talked about they have 22 games left. Mm-hmm. 22 games. Out of the 22 games, 18 of those games are against teams that have a possibility to go into playoffs. That means they're going to come in and they're going to give you their best. And I think that's going to help this ball club. I think if you go in and you find out you're playing teams that don't have that opportunity, it's a little bit different. But I think this ball club is going to be helped as you go along, and that's the way Murph is be able to keep him focused, is saying, you know what, this team is going for the playoffs. This is a team we may play. This is a team that we have to know about as we go along throughout the season. Might get them in the postseason. So it's gonna really ramp up the team a little bit. It's gonna keep that focus, and I think that's so important, especially when you got a group of young kids that you do have here that have done so well all year long.
So the Brewers at 81-59. The Phillies at 83, so 2 wins, but 3 more losses. So that's why it's 2.5 back of the Phils. They will meet head-to-head in 2 weeks. The biggest moment for me as I look at this game, you know, you had a Cheerio leadoff double in the fourth. He didn't move from second base. Granted, a couple of quality contacts in there with a line out by Bowers and a hard line out the other way by Garrett Mitchell. But Sonny Gray was in cruise control. A leadoff walk in the fifth. Couldn't do anything with that. A leadoff man aboard in the sixth on a bunt from Terang. Back-to-back strikeouts to follow that from Cheerio and from Bowers. Leadoff triple in the seventh, scored on a ground out because the next guy, Perkins, struck out looking. So it's just a lack of contact at this point. And again, Sonny Gray is a great pitcher. Let's not take anything away from him. But the Brewers, situationally, you're not going to score any runs when the only guy that really did like a situational at-bat tonight was when Jackson Cheerio hit an opposite field ground ball, and Ortiz's RBI grounded, I should say, in the seventh, but Jackson Cheerio hit the 4-3 ground out in the eighth inning that moved Terang to third with only one out. That's the only time we saw the Brewers play, you know, sort of situational offense.
Yeah, I just wanted, you know, you get some of these games sometimes and you get where they are right now and you get this part of the season. You get into the games and it's so important for the Cardinals. Cardinals had to win tonight. It wasn't about the Brewers had to win. It was about the Cardinals had to come out and have that great performance. They had Sonny Gray on the mound. They had to win and win this series and hopefully have an opportunity to get to the playoffs. But sometimes when you get to this situation, you know what? You just take that step back. It's taking that little breath and taking a step back. And I think if you talk to Murph about this ball club now, they probably weren't really in that good game mode that they usually are. Mm-hmm. That good attitude of coming up. Anytime you go for over, this team goes 0-15 with runners in scoring position, you got to say, hey, you know what? Just wasn't the same. Didn't have that intensity. Didn't have the abilities to go up and say, hey, what can I do here to really make things happen? And those things are going to happen. But I think what you do is you've had it. It happened. It didn't turn out right for you. You could have gotten a win and won the series here at home again. But now, boy, what you do, you got the day off. You come back and you get that focus against Colorado.
So they've got a couple of off days over the next 5 days, tomorrow and on Monday, before they start their last 13 in a row stretch, which will be a gut check, if you will, because Giants, tough place to pitch and That's play. Right. You know, you're probably going to see Logan Webb and Blake Snell over That's that sure. three-game series. And then you've got the Diamondbacks, who have been hot. They'll probably get Ketel Marte back here soon. Christian Walker just returned for them, so they should get better in theory. And then you come right back home. You're going to get Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks all in a row, and you're going to find out what you're made of there real quick and if you're going to have a chance at that second seed. Because right now, for the first time in a couple of weeks, the Brewers finally have a slip. It's like, ooh, it lost a grip there for a moment of maybe being in that hunt.
It's almost like you get a breath of fresh air to say, hey, I can just relax and just play the game. But all of a sudden, you're going to get to a situation like you just said. You go to the Giants, then you go over and you play the Diamondbacks. You come and play the Phillies, right back to the Diamondbacks. These teams they're in a position to do something pretty special. So I think you're going to be able to ramp it back up. And, you know, you're going to have days like this. This is going to happen. But I think when you get into these teams that are going for the playoffs and that intensity rises up a little bit, these young kids are going to rise up too. And I think the whole focus of this ball club has to be go back to what do we do best. We get runners on base. We run the bases really well. We play strong defense. We pitch well. And when we get a guy on base, we're going to move him and get him in.
Yep, I agree. Jerry Augustine with us. I'm Dom Catronio. Plenty of texts that are rolling in here. 855-616-1620. You can call. You can text. 855-616-1620. We'll get to some of these in the next segment. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Options.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine with us. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings tonight. They fall in the series. It's a frustrating one, but the Brewers, again, they won the season series. They're done with the Cardinals the rest of the year. In fact, they don't have another divisional opponent until the Pirates in the final week of the regular season. A couple of texts that have rolled in here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Mike, I'm going to disagree with you on the umpiring stuff. Yes, there were a few calls that didn't go the Brewers' way in the box, but again, 0-15 with runners in scoring position. Bad calls going either way. Look, was it a pretty zone from Jerry Ricks tonight? No. But was it the reason the Brewers lost the game? also no.
No, it isn't. Anytime you just can't. Every umpire is going to have a little bit of a different strike zone. They're going to stretch it every once in a while. And sometimes with Sonny Gray, I thought what he did really well, his when he got an opportunity to throw a pitch, expand the strike zone, and he got the strike call, he dotted it again.
Yeah.
And you got to give a pitcher credit. There's veteran pitchers that get on the mound, and they find a spot when you're on the mound, and you get a place where you know you can get that strike. You're going to go there as much as you can, and then you're going to try to expand a little bit more. And boy, these umpires, if you're consistent, you're going to get it. And I thought Sonny Gray did a nice job tonight.
D.L. Hall got a couple of calls late, too, and as did who would have been? It would have been Newbar when he struck out looking. Yeah, in the eighth inning, there were a couple pitches that were
pretty
tight
close.
There. And there were a couple. I mean, again, umpiring was not the reason the Brewers lost this game, but appreciate the passion there, Mike. Jeff from Elkhorn, 0-15 with runners in scoring position. Haas has to get him over to 3rd and 10th. You could see him trying. You could see him with that velo just trying to push it the other way. Could not make contact. Hoskins, no plate discipline. I agree. I mean, that was not a Reese at bat, but going 3 for his last 38, he has been in a slump. I was a little surprised by that choice. Brian from Tosa. Brian, again, the runners in scoring position. We've talked about that. The last 2 days, offense disappeared. You're right. The Brewers now just 2 for their last 26 with runners in scoring position. And one of those hits was the bloop to Ciani that was in and out of his glove last night. Mm-hmm. 2.5 ahead of him, second seed, and say goodbye to that first round bye and after the 2-week stretch. So I agree. This is a tough patch. You got to get it quick here, Brian, and see what you're made of because, yeah, the Brewers are staring at that wild card round right now. Let's get to a few of these texts in a moment, but first get to the phone lines here, 855-616-1620. George in Pewaukee, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on your show and having the show. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
I love Pat Murphy. I think it's an improvement for what we had before, so most of the season I'm a big fan of Pat's. As a longtime Brewer fan, if you could just answer for me, I'm having a real hard time just understanding one thing. When I look at our batting order of the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it didn't have anything to do tonight of why we lost, but I scratch my head why our third hitter tonight was Jake Bowers and why he's even anywhere near the top 4 or 5 batters in the lineup. And I'm looking at the roster as I'm talking here. And I looked at his history as a major league hitter. It makes no sense whatsoever that I can figure out why you have a 195 hitter batting third on any major league team.
Right. I see what the numbers say on the front there.
Does that disrupt the lineup a bit, having that person in the lineup and not
George,
have
the number one
George, third?
Right, I know. Well, there's two things at foot here. One, William Contreras got the day off tonight, and they've done it a few times, I know, with Jake Bowers hitting third, but you can imagine with a righty on the mound, the Brewers like to have that alternate right-left, right-left,
that's right,
to make it easier to pinch hit for Jake Bowers, which they did later tonight after 3 ABs. Of course, you want your three-hitter to do more than what he did tonight, 0-for-3 with a strikeout, but at the same time, the other elephant in the room here, George, Christian Yelich was your everyday three-hole hitter, and the Brewers,
Don't
go into a season planning a different three-hitter when you've got Christian Yelich.
And another thing, George, on this one, you think about Jake Bowers hitting that third spot. You got to look at who your opponent pitcher is and the style of pitcher he is. When you look at Sonny Gray, so what is Sonny Gray? Sonny Gray's a breaking ball pitcher. He'll pitch on the inside part of plate. He'll throw the cutter on the inside part of plate, down and in. That's really the red zone for a good left-handed hitter. And Jake Bowers, if you watch him when he's hit some home runs, those balls have been down on the inside part of plate, breaking in on him. He's gone out and got him. So I think it was an opportunity that Pat Murphy saw and said, you know what, this is a guy who's not going to pitch away a lot. He's going to try to go in on the left-hand hitters. He's going to throw your fastball tight. He's going to come in with that hard slider to the back foot. Jake Bowers is quick on that inside part of plate, has hit some good home runs from those spots. So I think that might have been part of the reasoning there. It might not be the reason, but I think think that had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, George. And again, we're not trying to tear you down or anything like that.
No, that's
a common question. You know, but the
that's
Brewers,
a great question.
The Brewers have had, you know, sort of a revolving door in the three spots since Yelly was out for the year. We've seen Garrett Mitchell there. We've seen Jake Bowers there. We've even seen Sal Frelick there earlier in the season,
Absolutely.
Too. Because the Brewers insist on the right, left to make it harder for the opponent to bring in, you know, a righty specialist, which they did tonight with Andrew Kitchich because they had that little stretch of back-to-back righties with Contreras and Adames, and then they trusted themselves against Mitchell. And then furthermore, the Brewers, look, it's not just lost on the three-hitter tonight, but at the same time, the offense we've talked about over and over again, but it's a weird funk that they're in, to say the least, but it doesn't fall on a single player's shoulders. This is a top-to-bottom bad day for the offense.
I think another example of that, George, is when you take a pitcher that might throw the ball away, might pitch away. Well, then you might go to it. You look at a guy, what is it built for in that third spot, or what type of hitter do you want in that spot? It'd be like a guy like Terang or a guy like Frelick, who can hits the ball the other way, takes that ball, what he's pitching, he hits the ball the other way. You get to a guy like Sonny Gray tonight, he likes to pound the ball on the inside part of plate, uses his breaking ball, and that's where he's effective. That's where a guy like Jake Bauer comes in, and he can be very effective.
I agree. I appreciate the call, though, George. Another couple of things in here, we'll get to them in the next segment. But I wanted to talk about this segment, too. The main thing was, you know, breaking down the decision of Hobie Milner in the 10th inning. And I think a lot of folks are going to overreact to that decision because, and we'll play Pat Murphy's audio in a little bit later on here in the program. I would have kept Pyomps in, personally. I was very confused in the moment. The way that it was explained by Murph was that, hey, Pyomps has used a ton of pitches, didn't want him to face the lefty there, wanted to, you know, was not going to face Arenado. He made that very clear. I did not want him to face Arenado, which I get. Arenado, it's like one of those things where it's like, hey, there's one guy who can't beat me, and it's this guy, so don't let him swing the bat. And then he thought he had the matchup with left on left. They don't pinch hit for Burleson all the time, and then they ultimately did pinch hit for him to go to Baker, and or excuse me, not Burleson, but Donovan. But they go to Baker, and quite frankly, if you would have told me, hey, Luke and Baker's going to hit a ground ball, You're probably like, all right, cool, mission accomplished. Seeing I single up the middle on a dotted changeup on the outside corner. That was not a bad pitch by Hobie Milner. Let's make that very, very clear. I know a run scored. I know it was a weird situation for Hobie to re-arrive to this lineup. But they got the situation they wanted. They got everything with the result they wanted except for the ball going in Willy Adames' glove.
You're exactly right, Dom. That's a great comment on your part. Where you look at what do you want your left-hand pitcher to do when he comes in? What is Hobie Milner? He's a guy who gets ground balls. He'll get a strikeout. He gets ahead. He'll throw a couple pitches where he can get the ball by you and strike you out. But he's a ground ball pitcher, a contact pitcher, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. The ball just got just out of the reach of Willie there and went into the outfield for a base hit, and they were able to score a run. I thought Hobie did his job. I really did. The guy come in the game, you get a ground ball, you'll take that 9 out of 10 times.
The other side of that coin, though, in being the devil's advocate here, is like, well, Pyomps could have got a strikeout. And
that's
you know
true.
What? You're right, and that's a conversation for Pat Murphy, and he wore it tonight. He says, you know what, if you want to wear me for that, that's fine. They got the situation they wanted. It didn't succeed, but again, they had the tying run on second with nobody out in the bottom of the 10th, and they couldn't score. And it doesn't matter if one run scored there or 10 runs scored there. The Brewers weren't going to score
in
the runner.
Perfect situation to bring Hobie in.
Yeah.
It really is when you think about it. You talked about Pyomps and striking a guy out and doing that, but here's a position where you can look for, he's just coming off the IL, and what you want to do is you want to get him in a situation where you want to see what he can do and get that ground ball. Is he going to pitch ahead? How is he going to throw the ball? You want that ground ball? I thought Hobie did his job. He came in, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, but a good time of the game to bring him in and see what he can do.
Absolutely. We're up against break. Got to take it. We do got to talk about one of the lone positives of the night, D.L. Hall. We got to have a real conversation about D.L. Hall. 855-616-1620. I'm behind on some of these texts. Get to these in a moment on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here as well. Going to the top of the hour on WTMJ. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on in the show as well. This one, Mike from Cedarburg, just leaving the game. Concerning how many pitches they're swinging at way out of the strike zone. How many pitches they take that are in the heart of the zone with very little movement. I'm not going to question the strikes in the middle of the zone. There's always game plans and stuff that we don't know over here from the ivory tower, if you will. But yeah, the chase is very uncharacteristic for the Brewers right now. We talked about that earlier.
And that's what you do. You know, you're facing pitching now at this time of the year. Guys are getting dialed in on where they want to throw. What does a pitcher need to do? He needs to get ahead with strike one and then expand the strike zone. And I think that's what thing the Brewers are seeing now. The guys are trying to pitch ahead of them, trying to locate the ball both on the inside and outside and expand the strike zone. That's a challenge. That's a challenge to young players. And when you get to this time of the year, we talked about the month of September is a little bit more of a challenge year. It's more you playoff type baseball, and you're going to get the better parts of guys being able to do what they do best, and that's expanding strike zone. You're seeing that a lot.
The Brewers have the second best chase rate in baseball, and they're going to have bad nights. They're a young team. It's not something to overreact, but it's something to certainly monitor to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. This one from Doug, losing 4 out of 6 to the Cards, a little concerning, but Hall isn't. This guy is working his way into a start. They can get into a 5-game series. That leads us to the conversation about DL Hall, because DL tonight, 4 shutout innings, coming in relief for Colin Ray, and we haven't even talked about Colin yet. 4 shutout innings. Yes, he had 2 walks. One of those he got squeezed on, but again, it's whatever. 6 strikeouts, and then 1 error that isn't really an error. It should be a base hit on an infield hit for Arenado. But nonetheless, the guy that we saw tonight and the guy that we saw Friday in Cincinnati was the guy that I saw in spring training before the knee started to flare up on him. This is the guy that, if you listened way back in spring training and I had a conversation with Matt Arnold, we actually taped it right after a DL Hall brilliant bullpen, like a live BP on the main field. And we had the TrackMan data up on the Jumbotron and that, and he was doing this tonight. 96, 17, 18 inches of vertical rise, you know, where the fastball is riding. The slider looked nasty. The curveball was a good complimentary pitch. I mean, he didn't even really need his changeup today, and that was his best pitch on Friday against the Reds. I'm sitting here, I'm like, look, I know the Brewers don't want to go to a 6-man rotation, but that dude needs to get some innings, because that dude deserves a shot to show himself if he deserves a chance to pitch in October.
I think you put it perfectly. That dude needs the pitch.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the one thing I saw from him and what you talked about him in spring training and talking to Matt Arnold, and what I saw him in his first few starts, a lot different. It looks like now he's just a little bit more relaxed. He looked like beginning of the season he was trying to overthrow the breaking ball a little bit, trying to do things too quickly, trying to make a statement right away early in the season. It just seems that now that he's gotten the knee taken care of, he's gotten able to sit back and got some starts in the minors and work on his repertoire on what he wants to pitch. Tonight, I thought he was fantastic. Everything was nice and relaxed. It was to the point. He used his off-speed stuff. He had a great breaking ball to both sides of the plate. He had a great changeup when he wanted to throw it. And that fastball, when he wants to reach back and get it, he can go get it. And that's pretty special when you got a left-hand pitcher that can do those things, stay ahead of pitchers, throw strikes like he did. I thought he threw the ball extremely well tonight. And I tell you what, you look at what he did on the mound tonight, as what you see each and every time out, that relaxed pitcher that goes out and throws the ball real well, and he's left-handed. What better else can he have?
And they got a couple off days here, and quite frankly, it could have been if the Brewers had won. You know, hey, you save Devin and you save Pyomps, but now those guys are probably, you know, they take the day. I imagine Yoel wouldn't pitch on Friday, but you know, you look at what he did for the bullpen tonight and how much they've been used, especially after last night's game. But I know the Brewers don't want to go to a 6-man rotation. He might get a spot where he starts a game during this 13 in a row.
Sure.
But, I mean, I know we've talked about, like, hey, Freddie and Ray, in whatever order they decide, are your 1 and 2 in a postseason series.
No question.
That 3 spot, I think, could be interesting. I know Tobias has hit a little bit of a speed bump, and he's had a great overall body of work. But, man, you could do something really interesting where maybe you have the lineup get set with a bunch of lefties against Tobias, and he goes 2 times through the order. Then you bring in DL Hall for 1 time through the order and see where you're at, and you got your leverage guy. I mean, they could get really creative if he keeps this up.
The way Aaron Ashby's been throwing the baseball,
along
with DL Hall, you've got those two young kids throwing the ball so well that, you know what, you got to kind of wait to see who you play in the playoffs. That might say, hey, you know what? Here's an opportunity to use these guys. So if you can get a start for DL Hall maybe during the rest of the season, let him go out, see what he can do, 4 or 5 innings to start a ball game. Let the ball game be in his control and see what he can do. It might really be a big plus for you as you possibly go into the playoffs. You got 5 or 6 starters that you can use. It's just a matter of who you play and how you want to approach that team and who you want to pitch against. against that team, it would be the best opportunity for you to win.
It's also, it's not a foregone conclusion that the Brewers are going to face, you know, if they're in the wild card round, or it's not a foregone conclusion, I should say, that they're even in postseason. But
yeah,
the point is, you know, even if they're facing a wild card team, it is not a lock that it's Atlanta. They're only a half game clear of the Mets, who have won 7 in a row.
That's right.
And the Diamondbacks, I mean, they're winning tonight against the Giants, but they're suddenly coming back down to earth a little bit. They're only 2 games clear of the Braves right now. I mean, there's going to be a lot of fluctuation. And the Brewers, quite frankly, given they have 7 games head-to-head with the Diamondbacks, can kind of have a say of like, hey, we might be seeing you again here in Milwaukee.
Pretty
which
soon.
Some Brewers fans are like, whoa, 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 I don't want to see those guys again. But, I mean, that's what this final 3 weeks are going to be like. So, I mean, buckle up. This ain't for the faint of heart, man. Like, I know there are some fans that only check in September, and that's fine. I love you guys. It's great. Every game does matter. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, no, this is a fine game to lose. It's No, I hate losing. Murph hates losing. The Brewers hate losing. Let's not overreact to that. But at the same time, even if this team is in a wild card round, if it ends up in a wild card round, they still have a chance to move on. It's not That's like right. they're going to be, oh, they're going to be overwhelmingly fit. We can't survive a wild card round. And you're right. They haven't won a postseason series in 2018. That's a fact, and there's no denying that. But at the same time, you can't do it till you've done it. And quite frankly, teams that have been in the wild card round have been the teams that win pennants since this change, so maybe you secretly want to be in the wild card
round. The way September has shaped up this year, well, look at you. You might be some of the teams you're playing in the next 22 games might be that team that you play. Yeah. You play in the wild card, or if you get unless you get a bye, you just don't know. So you got to go out and play them. You got to play them hard. It's going to be interesting. But I think the one thing you have to do as a ball club, you really have to get your pitching situated. You have to understand the approach you want to use. And I think that's what Murph and the pitch coaching staff is doing right now. They're trying to just dissect everything on how they want to approach it the next 22 games and make them the best team they can possibly be when they get to the playoffs.
They're still 81-59. They're 9 games clear in the standings, or I should say 10 games clear, if I'm not mistaken. Pulling it up right now. 9 games clear, but it's 10 with the tiebreaker over the Cubs. So the Cubs would have to be outright over the Brewers to take that. And there's no more head-to-head, by the way, with the Cubs the rest of the year. So the Brewers are in good shape still in the division. The magic number still sits at 13. It's a little bit more of an uphill climb here against the Phillies all of a sudden, but nonetheless, there's still 22 games to go.
That's right.
No reason to abandon ship right now. It's a little rut. The Cardinals, everyone hates losing to the Cardinals. You won the war against them. It's A-OK. You got the Rockies coming to town. And with all due respect to the Rockies, it's kind of a get-right team, right? And look, they're a team that has nothing to lose. They can keep on playing. They got no restrictions on them. But, man, you're a better team than the Rockies. Let's see it this weekend.
I'm going to tell you. You were in Colorado. What happened?
Right.
They took 2 out of 3. I'm going to tell you, it's an eye-opener. This
2 out of 4, yeah, it was a split.
Was it a split?
Yeah.
I must have missed the game. But, you know, they're coming in. They played you tough.
Yes,
this is a team that you, all of a sudden, you lost a series to the Cardinals. Boy, let's get back in that winning mode, and let's play well against the Colorado Rockies.
Yep, they're coming in having lost 3 consecutive games themselves. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. Appreciate your analysis, as always. We'll talk to you again this weekend. Enjoy your off day.
It's going to be fun. Let's get the Rockies.
Yeah, let's get back on track here, and let's not freak out. We're going to keep our composure. It's going to be okay. All right, back with more after this. Got a few more texts here, 855-616-1620. On your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, we're getting ready to move on here. Dust yourself off. It's going to be okay. Brewers fall tonight by a 3-2 final in 10 innings. I'm Dom Catronio. A few more texts here. This one from Craig in Oshkosh. Not enough singles to keep the line moving. Craig, I'm going to disagree here. I mean, look, hits. I just want hits, okay? If you could have, they hit a solo homer tonight with Eric Haas, which was a highlight, really the only highlight of the night. But just hits. Just give me hits. Give me walks. Give me base runners. I don't care if it's a single, a double, a triple, or a homer. Just give me base runners. It's not just singles. It's just they aren't hitting over the last couple of days. Not just singles, but you're right. Astute observation. They have not been hitting singles over the last few games. Mr. Dom, just call me Dom. The Brewers really have to stop trying to get the extra inning since they don't have enough stamina to win against the Cardinals. No less lost a series. Trying to play their way out of playoffs? Of course not. Come on, guys. Come on. Let's all tap the brakes. Sometimes when you're, again, the reflection, what happened, we talked about this the last couple of years. You feel worse about your bullpen because the offense isn't scoring runs. When you ask the bullpen to continually move mountains, A, they're going to run out of gas, and B, you're going to lose games. And again, tonight's loss is not on Hobie Milner. It is not on Colin Ray. Now, Colin could have been better, and I want to talk about Colin in this segment. It's going over 15 with runners in scoring position for the 1,000th time. I still think the Brewers have decisions to make in their pitching staff. You know, last night I obviously wasn't on the program, but Elvis Peguero was one of their last options in the game last night. They did not want to go to him. That's why they went to him in the 12th inning. I don't think they were planning on using Hobie Milner tonight, given how well D.L. Hall pitched, but they only scored two runs, and they found themselves in the 10th inning with a thin bullpen. They had to use Hobie Milner, and I thought he executed a pretty darn good pitch, just a little better hitting. Yeah, it's like the basketball analogy. You can play perfect defense, hand in the face, handle the crossover, get him into a tough fadeaway back-footed shot, bang. Like, it happens. It just happens. And some folks don't like hearing that. I understand the frustration. At the same time, man, this game will drive you mad. This game's driven me so mad I've lost my hair. Okay? It's going to be a grind down the stretch. And I know y'all watched in October last year and how frustrating those games were, watching Corbin and Freddie give it up, watch Devin struggle. It's going to be a grind. If you think this was going to be easy, hop off the bandwagon, man. This is going to be a grind down the stretch to have some fun with it. That settles it. The Brewers can't let these games go to extras anymore. They haven't been winning ever since the last time they won an extra inning game. Got to stop struggling with runners in scoring position. Agreed there, Alex. Appreciate the text there from you. Let's talk a little bit about Colin Ray here. Colin, a weird anomaly start from him. They're starting to deload him a little bit. Four innings, 75 total pitches. I mean, he got the first two outs in the first inning on 12 pitches, a single by Goldie, a ground rule double by Arenado, and you're thinking, okay, that turned out to be a blessing in disguise because it was a ground rule double. It would have scored a run. Instead, it forces Goldie to stop at third. You got runners at second and third and two outs, and then Donovan up, and you're like, okay, you know, just get a ground ball, get an out, and you're fine. And then he hits him. And you're like, whoa, what's going on with Colin Ray here? And then he falls behind 3-0 on back-to-back hitters. Ray had one walk in the entire month of August, and then he had back-to-back walks here in his first start in September. And they both came with the bases loaded. If that's not an anomaly, I don't know what is. And furthermore, he settled down from there, didn't allow another runner to get past second base the rest of the game. And even yet, that runner was on second base for a grand total of three pitches in the fourth inning. And knowing Pat Murphy, knowing he had D.L. Hall behind Colin Ray, influenced the thought that Ray was going to be shorter today, only goes 75 pitches. And at the same time, Ray didn't pitch poorly. It was one inning where he lost his arm slot and couldn't figure out what went wrong quickly enough. That happens to every pitcher. We've talked about his struggles in the first inning this year. And I think if this was like a traditional start where it's like the middle of July and you need some length out of Ray, he could have gone six innings. He absolutely could have with like 105 pitches or whatever was needed. But because of the way the Brewers had managed it, knowing they had DL, knowing they had Devin available, knowing they had probably Hobie available if they were still trailing, that they were going to be able to cover these final five innings of the game. They weren't planning on 10 because, again, the offense wasn't able to give them the lead. That's my big takeaway from this one. I'm just not going to overreact to what the pitching did tonight, because if you would have told me in a 10-inning game the Brewers are only going to allow two earned runs, three total runs, because remember that placed runner is an unearned run, three runs in 10 innings against the Cardinals should win more games than they don't. Just like yesterday, until the 11th inning, oh, you're telling me you're going to hold the Cardinals to four runs over 11 innings of play? Sign me up. So, again, it's an offense reflection right now. The Brewers need to dust themselves off and get back on track here ASAP. Because it's, again, it's not going to get easier once you get past the Rockies this weekend. We have had this final three-week stretch circled since the beginning of the season. Like, this is going to be hard. You're going to find out what you're made of real quick. But the Brewers, they don't know any better. All right, it's supposed to be hard. It's like Elle Woods. Oh, what, like it's hard? okay, here it is. One more win, you're guaranteed above 500. I think they're going to get one more win. And then the race is on to get to the Phillies. And here, let me get to this take. I'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow on Brewers Weekly. The Brewers, when you get to that series against the Phillies here at American Family Field, which is 2 weeks from Monday, okay? So not next Monday, but the following Monday. If the Brewers can enter that series within two games or less, against the Phillies in their divisional race, or in the two-seed race, they're where they want to be. Now, it's going to be hard to make up 2.5 in the span of, what would that be, 3, 6, 9 games. However, if they can just stay 2 games back, even if they can find a way to be 1 game back, there's a couple of things that happen. If you get 2 games back and you pull off the sweep, that's hard to do. You pull off the sweep. Not only do you have the tiebreaker most likely, you also are in the lead. You're up by 1 game, which essentially becomes 2 games. But if you're down 1 game and you just win the series, you don't get the sweep. So yes, the Phillies would have the tiebreaker, but you're now tied in record at that point. Find a way, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, be within 2 games when you wake up on Monday the 16th against the Phillies. Because that's what's going to decide this season. That series right there is going to decide, are you a 2 seed or should you be preparing for the wild card? Which then impacts the rotation in that final week of the season. We're going to talk about Pat Murphy's decisions and hear from him briefly coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Our thanks all season long to Sider. Right now, they're also offering 5% off for service for veterans and for seniors. That's all year long. Make sure to mention this offer. Again, 5% off service for veterans and for seniors all year long with our friends at Sider when you're scheduling your appointment. It's Sider.com, Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Here's a little shorter clip on Pat Murphy about the youth of his team and what he saw from his at-bats, and I want to read some transcripts courtesy of our friends on the beat of the Riders a few doors down from me. Pat Murphy briefly after the game today.
I think we have six players in the lineup today that are playing kind of for their first year, you know, first full season. And I think in those situations, they tend to try to do too much, you know. And, you know, our offense there at the end, we had plenty of opportunity with a man on third and one out again in the nights and, you know, came up empty. And I guess this is a phase we're going through, but a lot of it's youth. You know, there's a lot of bright spots at the same time. It's just, you know, very, very frustrating. And we haven't had this stretch of that frustration. You know, the Yankees came in here and beat the dog out of us twice, and we had a little frustration on a couple interpretations of the rule, whatever, but I mean, they beat the tar out of us twice. That's different. When you lose like this, it hurts a lot more, especially for a young group. So,
yeah, I think when what Murph's trying to get at there is, again, some folks want the manager or the head coach to come in and scorch the earth and say, oh, my guy's stinking. They can't get a hit. No, they're never going to do that. And furthermore, Murph has made it clear he's never going to throw his guys under the bus. He believes in his team. He doesn't believe in that as far as like a rah-rah guy. And there are times that he's a rah-rah guy, but in the right moments, not in a post-game presser with the media. He admitted, yeah, they're showing youth. We've talked about that. 0-15, yada, yada. But at the same time, he knows what they're capable of, and this is not their floor. This is not what they're supposed to be doing. They should be a little bit better than this. And that's his way of making that message clear. He actually talked about this earlier today as well. I was in the pregame media session down there, and this was Adam McAlvey actually transcribed it from MLB.com and posted it over on Twitter. And here's what he was asked about, you know, last night and how deflating that was, and just kind of the last week where you had the tough game on Sunday in Cincinnati. And yes, you won on Monday, and that was a really fun game, but then they kind of went quiet again. So, what have you seen lately? And he says, this is what Pat Murphy said. I haven't loved a lot of what I've witnessed. I love the guys, and I love the way they've competed and put themselves in a really good position. but you have to make it constant. You can take your foot off the gas. You can't coast uphill. And in my mind, we have an uphill battle, to say the least, now down 2.5 games for that 2-seed. And for anybody who wants to debate, do the Brewers actually want the bye? I guarantee you 100% they want the bye. And then to reiterate the conversation we talked about earlier, lifting Yoel Piamps for Hobie Milner and intentionally walking Nolan Arenado and then eventually facing Luken Baker. Here's what Murph had to say about it. Arenado's swinging the bat great. Piamps has pitched a lot. He's warmed up a lot. He doesn't have much fuel. They didn't always hit for Donovan in that situation, and I chose Donovan. He's been a great hitter, been a viable hitter. They don't always hit for him. I still looked at the other two guys that could hit there, Walker or Baker. I liked Hobie's changeup against those two guys, and he got the job done. I mean, he got the ground ball. You want to criticize the move, you can. But I trust in Hobie to throw strikes, and I trust that the off-speed would get Baker on the ground. And it did. It was a seeing eye single. No one talks about the fact that he struck out the next guy, Ivan Herrera, to make sure that nothing else was going to score behind him and kept this a one-run game. So keep that in mind as well. No traditional highlight segment because, well, there's really only one highlight. We'll play it for you next here on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Very.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Final couple minutes here. We'll got this segment, one more break, and then we'll give you the upcoming schedule. Normally we'd play the highlights here, but one RBI came on a ground out of a situational at-bat with a man on third. The other, though, tied the game in the eighth inning, looking for a signature moment for Eric Haas in Milwaukee.
Eric Haas leads off the eighth inning, first pitch swinging, a high drive, left field, we are tied! Eric Haas with his fourth home run of the season. It was a bomb to left. And we are all square in Milwaukee in the bottom of the eighth.
It was a great call from Lane Grindle. Shame the Brewers couldn't get a walk-off call. On top of that, they haven't had a walk-off since June for the crew. Another text here that came in here. Jake Bauer's hitting third. Well, did Bob Uecker ever hit third or fourth? No, he never started the game batting third or fourth. Could Tyler Black do any worse? This one from Bill in Madison. Tyler Black, quite frankly, did do worse. That's why he's in AAA right now. He hit 190 while batting third in a sub-500 OPS. The Brewers tried to see, you know, he got an audition batting third, didn't go well, and he was not the extra man called up here in September because they want him to get consistent at-bats down in AAA, and I imagine he'll be in the fold next season. So they're going to continue to use revolving door based on the opponent at that three spot and figure out what it will entail for them. Upcoming schedule coming up after our last break on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here of the program. Brewers are off, but I am not tomorrow. We got Brewers Weekly tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Now, one thing to note, if you listen to the podcast, this won't impact you at all, but tomorrow's show will be taped here on WTMJ. And then back at it on Friday, odd time Friday. I know the state of Wisconsin will have their attention divided on Friday, but 5:10 will be the first pitch. Again, 5:10 first pitch coming up on Friday. Weird time. I know. I didn't make it. Don't yell at me. There's another team that's playing that day that you may be familiar with that a lot of people are going to be watching, so trying to accommodate for some of those folks is the reason why. The Brewers welcome in the Colorado Rockies here to American Family Field, the last head-to-head series of the year. So our coverage on Friday will begin at 4:35. Saturday, it is back to the 6:10 start time, and I'll be on the air at 5. And then Sunday, noon, I'm on the air for a 1:10 first pitch. Off day again on Monday, and then it's out west for some late night with the Brew Crew one more time with 3 against the Giants and 3 against the Diamondbacks, and that's that gauntlet of a 13-in-a-row stretch where the Brewers go Giants, Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks before their final off day of the regular season. So again, tomorrow's Brewers Weekly will be taped. You can still hear it live at 8 o'clock or in your podcast feeds at Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, take a deep breath if you've made it this far. Let's do it again. They lost. The sun will come up tomorrow. They're still in great shape. They can turn around and who knows, maybe you'll get some help from the Marlins this week and you go sweep the Rockies and everyone's going to be feeling great and you're going to be ready to go out west next week. So let the games play out. 22 to go. Let's have some fun. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll see you next time. Keep on swinging.